Welcome to the Empowered by Plants podcast, hosted by Emily Henry. I am here to help you along your vegan and fitness journey. I'll teach you what I've learned along the way as a vegan trainer and athlete. On this podcast, I'll be sharing all things vegan, fitness, and fun so that you can become empowered by plants. Each week, I'll bring you a special guest, training, or tidbit that will make you feel ignited, inspired, and empowered. Let's get into the episode.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I know you had sent me a couple questions, so I kind of prepared answers for that. And then maybe if we have some time for like a, you know, couple random questions just as conversation evolves, I'm sure I'll come up with other things. But yeah
it's going I'm going to keep it pretty free flowing. And if questions come up, ask them. We have no strict script or anything. So just as questions come up, this is really honestly for you to be able to break through whatever you're going through and really get the resources that you need to be able to continue to see progress in whichever goals that you're trying to accomplish.
Awesome. I appreciate that.
Of course. So I'll just start out with a couple questions. How long have you been plant-based?
So I started the switch to plant-based last April, 2020. So it'll be a year in April. And oh my gosh, it was the best decision I've ever made.
Neither will I. What made you switch to a plant-based diet?
Really what it came down to was I just became educated. We had been in the pandemic for like a few months at that time, and I had some more time on my hands than I used to because I worked from home, which it was, you know, as a teacher, it was a really rough transition. So I just started looking inward at like, what do I need for myself to kind of better myself during this time? And just in that education, you know, whether it was documentaries or following different Instagram accounts, which at some point I came across you and I don't know how, but it had to be during that time when I was kind of just like looking for a lot of different plant-based resources, you know, Instagram accounts and then different coaches. And I had been pescatarian before that. So it wasn't like the most harsh transition ever, but you know, I just became more educated and it became even more important for me to become fully plant-based and to, you know, learn and absorb more. And I'm a teacher. So, you know, you can relate to this probably, but by nature, we want to gain knowledge. We want to better ourselves. We want to keep working towards our, you know, goals, whatever those are. So I just became educated through those resources. And really it started out solely for the animals, you know, vegan for the animals. That was the big turn. And then it turned into, as I learned more, I wanted to do more for the environment. And then in the end, it turned into wanting to do more for my own health, which I think is where I'm finally at with the whole thing.
Cool.
So, you know, there's really a huge transition.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, there's like, you probably, and you might be able to relate to this, but you know, that vegan transition going through, it's kind of like steps of grief almost that you go through, and there's like steps of realization and just this whole entire transformation that goes on. And so it was really difficult, honestly, for me at first, just because of, you know, the background, a lot of reasons why people go vegan and plant-based. And so that was all really hard. And once I got to a point of like, okay, well, what am I going to do about it now? That's when it kind of became about my health and the environment and how can I be the best person I can be. So that was kind of what the switch was about.
I love that. That's really awesome. I think that's also something that like that a lot of people don't talk about, and myself included, that I should talk about more, is like the evolution. You made a really good point about the evolution of like yourself. Like you change as a person. It sounds so silly, but like you don't understand it until you go through it. But you change on a soul level and an emotional level as a person when you go vegan. You, like you said, there's a grief period. I remember, and I tell a lot of my clients this because I help a lot of clients go vegan, from whether pescatarian, vegetarian, or from eating meat. Their choice completely. I never push that. I always want someone to be their choice. It's like this, I remember, I always tell my clients this, and I remember for me, the first couple weeks and maybe even a couple months going vegan, I was just angry. I was so angry. I was angry at everyone. I was angry at people who weren't paying attention and weren't listening to the clear information that was out there. And I was just mad at myself too. I think that's what it really came down to.
Yes.
I was really mad at myself that I waited so long and that I didn't, that I pushed it off, because at the time I thought that what was on my plate was more important. And it like, just like, even now, like it almost brings me to tears that like I ate that way, but it's a part of our evolution and it's a part of our growth. And so it's really beautiful that you've been able to realize that and know that there's like these phases as you go through, and that we kind of have a very similar story. I went vegan for the animals, a little bit for health, but mostly for the animals, and then got into more of the health world of veganism, and then decided I want to help other people create the healthiest lifestyle that they can while creating the most moral life that they can.
If that makes sense. Yeah. And you use the word evolution. And I think that's like one of the best words that can be used for it, because it was an evolution of self. But I also realized that as humans and as a society, we need to evolve. And so it became more of like a mission to evolve myself. Mm. And as a teacher, of course, I want to educate other people. So after I got through that grief period, which maybe others alerted me to the fact that I was going through that, you know, or myself, like you said, there were just times where you were so mad and like angry or felt that guilt in yourself. Like, God, how could I have eaten that way for so long? And so that evolutionary period really, really truly lasted a long time, because I felt like I was alone in it. You know, and I did reach out to a couple friends I have who are vegan, or, you know, at least are vegetarian, and they understand, and they, you know, they want to be vegan, but they're just not sure. And, you know, whatever the case was. So I did have a few people who I felt like I could lean on, but, you know, it really was, gosh, it made me look so much inward at my values, my morals, and just where my compass was pointed. And now that's just what I live by every day. It's like so important. It's defining almost. It's defining for sure.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And I'm glad that you reached out to people that could support you, because I feel like that's where a lot of people struggle, is they feel alone because their family and their friends just don't understand or don't support them.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Let's shift gears just a little bit. Let's talk about some of your goals. What are some of your health, fitness, wellness goals right now?
Yeah, I would say my health goals are, oh my gosh, I would love to, and this will be part of our conversation as it evolves, I'm sure, is really mend my relationship with food, not just in becoming vegan, but the way in which I view food. And I need to really shift my perspective about being kind to myself and using food as fuel rather than thinking of food as I don't know, just like fostering the poor relationship that I've always had with it. I never really was taught how to have a good relationship with food. So I really want to evolve that. That's my next goal in nutrition. And then did you say fitness right now as well?
Yeah, I said fitness, nutrition and just health in general.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would love to really focus more on the non-scale victories. You know, that's been in my brain since, you probably know Whole30, and that was a thing in the Whole30. And like, so I know that's a thing, but that is part of my poor relationship with food and with my body image. You know, I think a lot of women go through that in general.
For sure.
You know, looking at your past posts, I know that you posted about that. Like, I wanted to look a certain way, you know, and really it goes past that. It transcends just what our body weight is. So I really would like to, attach more to that. And then in fitness, I feel like I feel like I'm doing a decent job with fitness lately, but I kind of want, I have this weird thing where if like my nutrition is really out of whack, my fitness becomes really out of whack, you know, like I want the two to just coexist and be happy all the time, you know, and it's not going to be all the time. I know that, but I would love to become more consistent in all of those realms, nutrition, fitness. Yeah. Just overall, like the psychology behind it.
What are you in that meeting with those goals? Do you have any other goals like performance wise or like mental wise that you kind of want? I know that the relationship with food is more of a mental goal than a fitness goal, but like, is there anything else that you want to touch on before you move on from goals?
Oh my gosh. I would love to be able to do a pull-up. Is that a goal?
Yes. That's 100% a goal.
Oh my God. I've never been able to do it. And I totally envy anybody who can do one, let alone like seven.
What I can do for you, is create and just over our call here, create a little, and I can send this to you afterwards too, a plan to progress to a pull-up, like just a couple moves add into your workouts and how to progress a pull-up so you can get your first pull-up.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's like the most badass thing to me. Like a pull-up.
Pull-ups, I would love that. I remember. Okay. So I remember my first pull-up. Granted, I had a lapse in when I was able to do a pull-up. My first pull-up I ever did was, I think, in seventh grade.
Granted, oh my gosh. I've never been able to do it.
Maybe 100 pounds. Maybe. I was a small kid. Yeah. And I remember my boyfriend at the time was in the class, and it was like a PE performance test. So we did like the mile run, the pull-ups, push-ups, like a bunch of stuff. And I remember we did it like one after the other, and he couldn't do one. And then I went up and I did one, and he was so sad and mad and upset. And that was like the first realization where I was like, wow, like I can be stronger than a man. And then from that point
like
on,
kind of great. Like,
hell yeah. I'm going to do this for the rest of my life.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. I've never had that. I've never had that moment.
You're going to have it. It might take a year. It might take 2 years. It kind of just depends on where you're at, but just be patient and consistent. And that's the most annoying thing. And it's not the sexy answer where I could be like, yeah, you're going to get a pull in 3 months. I promise. Like, no, it just depends on like where you're at.
your engagement in muscle and your ability to build strength and muscle around the lats, not only in a pull-up, but outside of a pull-up as well.
Okay.
So doing exercises like rows or pull-downs, doing a lot of stability work on the shoulders and scapula so that you can get that pull and be able to be stable in that pull.
Awesome.
Cool. So we chatted about goals, which we'll kind of work around. What are you currently struggling with, and like, why haven't you been able to achieve those goals?
So I think I kind of touched upon it with, you know, wanting to be more consistent, but it's just lack of consistency. And I think a lot of it has to do with just the self-discipline piece of it. Like, you know, it's really easy for me to fall off the boat or prioritize things that are outside of myself. Like as vegans and plant-based people, usually you also meet an empath. And so frequently I will put aside my own goals to help others, or put aside my own goals because, like, you know, my fiance had a hard day at work and he really needs to talk or whatever. And the more that I align, the more that he aligns with me, or the more he's motivated, the more I feel motivated. Yeah. So I think it's like finding that intrinsic motivation and the like will and power to keep going, even though I want it and I know I want it. But like the consistency part is what really holds me back. Say we go for like a short trip, and on that trip, we're not working out. And then when I come back, it's like, man, I kind of feel like crap because I drank, and you know, it's really hard to get back on the boat.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I know to a lot of people that sounds like an excuse. And to me, sometimes it sounds like an excuse too, but it's like the truth of the matter is that sometimes I struggle to get back on schedule.
Well, I think part of this process is really like understanding where those weak spots are and not feeling badly, like not feeling guilty or bad about it, but knowing like that's just your weak point, right? So like just accepting it as it is and understanding it is the first step. So knowing like, I know this is going to happen because I know me and I know what my past behaviors have showed me. And then being able to like, be like, oh, I know this is going to happen, and being prepared for it versus feeling like you're going through it again in a cycle, if that makes sense. And you're just kind of like being thrown around by the same cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So we can definitely work on some consistency tips and tricks here. I would say one thing, how often right now, like how often are you working out right now? How are you working out? Give me a little rundown.
Mm-hmm. So I actually, when I first became pescatarian, so I've had the program for about a year and a half now, I did, you know, one of those quick, like, oh, for $90, enter the 6-week competition type thing, and we'll give you a full, you know, workout scheme and a personalized, which I don't know how personalized it was, but you know, all of that stuff, you know, it was kind of looking at macros and stuff. So I started doing that when I became pescatarian in November of 2019. And honestly, I loved it. I kind of fell in love with like lifting weights. Before that, I was like cardio, you know, that mistake that everybody makes. Like, I'm going to run 6 miles a day, whatever. I don't want to get big, so I don't want to lift weights. But oh my gosh, not the case, right? So got into lifting weights, noticed differences. And I was like, dang, she's getting sculpted, like whatever. But it's, you know, once I wasn't consistent anymore, that went backwards or whatever. So in terms of like fitness though, I will lift. I try and do it 5 days a week at the minimum. Sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes it's more like four, but I will also mix in some cardio after the fact, or I'll do sometimes what I've found lately is that if I wake up in the morning and do like a cardio to get me moving, get me awake, get me motivated, that helps. And then I'll work out later at night and do like a lifting routine. So that's been helpful.
Cool.
But yeah, that's about 5 days a week I try to do.
Cool. Couple questions from that answer. When you say, when you aren't consistent, what do you mean by that? Is it a week, 2 weeks, 3 months, 6 months? Like, what is that time frame?
Oh yeah. So that's a good question. So mostly I'll be consistent, like super consistent, 5 to 6 weeks.
Okay.
And then I start to poop out after that. Like, you know, something will come up, we'll have like a weekend away, and then like Monday comes around and I'm just super tired on Monday because we didn't get home like until Sunday. So it's usually, like I mentioned before, when we like do something on the weekend that kind of throws my routine.
Okay.
And then, yeah, but usually I can stay consistent for like a good amount of weeks.
And then what about after the fact, when you kind of like lose that, what does that time frame kind of look like?
Yeah, it's like a week or two before I can really get my mind back around it to get like back into a consistent routine.
Okay. Honestly, that's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. That's not that bad.
Okay. That's good.
You're in good shape. You're not going to, you know, burn up and blow up for not being consistent for 2 weeks. But if you look at it in a macro level, right, there's room for improvement. There's room where we can be a little bit more consistent. And this could be maybe a couple of reasons. The most reasons why I see people not consistent is because either their workouts are boring as shit, or they've been doing the same workouts for a long time, or they're doing too much and they're burning themselves out. And then they're just fucking tired.
Yeah. I'm partially wondering if that that's part of it. Cause like I said, I found out that waking up early, my fiance gets up super early and I can't fall back asleep. So I was like, oh, I'll just use that time to work out.
Yeah.
And then he works out at night. So I've been doing basically two a days. Also like filling my body with the nutrition, like I'm doing macros and we'll talk about that. But at some point I think I'm just so tired that I'm like, I just need a break, you know? And then it turns into like a week or two break.
So I would say, okay, so you're doing 2 days, you're doing 5 to 6 a week. What are those, how long are those workouts? And do you have like a tracker or like an Apple Watch or anything where you kind of know like your calorie burn or like your energy expenditure in those workouts?
No. So like in the morning, have you heard of Morning Meltdown 100?
No.
It's like a Beachbody workout on the Beachbody On Demand app. And so I've been doing that and I'm about like, there's 100 workouts, you know, just like 100 days. And I definitely haven't done 100 days in a row, but I just finished this morning workout 44. And so you do it in the morning. It's only about maximum half an hour.
Okay.
They will incorporate some lifting, but a lot of it will be cardio based. So I'll definitely get my heart level, you know, my like heart rate up. I'll be sweating, but I don't have an Apple Watch. So I use my FitnessPal and I just enter like the amount of time and then it kind of calculates, you know, the...
And is that Beachbody style, like HIIT style training, like for time? And is it pretty intense or is it more slower paced, mellowish cardio?
So there's actually two different versions. There's the LIIT and then the HIIT cardio. Okay. So it just depends on the day. And then they'll have like Revive in there where you're just doing like yoga. So it's different types of workouts and they cycle through them.
Cool. And you're doing that every morning now or like the 5 mornings a week?
Yeah, kind of depends. But I was like, okay, you know, New Year's resolution, me in January, I was like a crazy person. I was doing it every morning, like even on the weekends, but it's definitely teetered off. Last week I did it twice, 2 mornings. Okay. So it's definitely gone down.
And then talk to me about your lifting workouts. What do those look like?
So I actually really enjoy them, but I'm wondering if, like you said, either they're getting boring because it's like stuff I've done, or if it's maybe you also mentioned I'm super tired, but the lift workouts are, you know, isolated. So like Mondays are lower body or, you know, booty or something like that. Tuesday will be upper body. Wednesday is like a cardio. Thursday full body, and then Friday usually like butt or something again, lower body. So I really enjoy it, but typically I don't make it to Friday. I'll get to like Thursday and I'll do the full body and then I'm just like, meh.
You're done. So immediately I would say you need 2 rest days, like literally rest days. Like don't fucking do any quote unquote workout.
Okay.
It seems so fucking backwards. And you're like, wait, what? You want me to work out less? But and when we do that, I promise the energy that you're going to be able to bring to your actual workouts is going to be times 10. And when you do that and you're able to give that extra energy to your workouts rather than just getting through them because it's a to-do list and you're checking it off, right? You're going to have way more fun, which is like a great reason to work out, right? We like to work out. It's enjoyable. It's way more fun. And you're going to get more results because the energy that you're giving to your lifts and to your workouts are going to be so much stronger than they were if you were tired and fatigued from the day prior. And then
you're suggesting a midweek?
What'd you say?
Are you suggesting like a midweek rest, like a Wednesday?
Yeah. So like,
you know, do like Monday, Tuesday, rest Wednesday.
Yeah. And I would kind of really go based on feeling as well. But I would say like, I mean, you've been doing lifting for like a year and a half on and off. I would say depending on where you're at, like you seem like you're intermediate. So I would say like maybe even 3, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday rest, workout Friday, Saturday, Sunday rest. And it kind of just depends on the schedule and what works with you. I let my clients be a little bit flexible with their rest days, especially depending on soreness and how they're feeling. So like, hey, we keep to the plan pretty much, but if we need to make changes, we do, because I take a very intuitive approach to nutrition and training. Because your body isn't really, it's not a robot. We can be as detailed as we want in the data, but when you look at it from a standpoint, like you could have emotional shit going on. You could have slept like crap last night. You could be in your luteal phase of your cycle, which affects your performance and your moods and your hormones and your sleep. So like paying attention to how you're feeling, and that's not meaning that taking excuses into account, but really like on a deep level, like how can my body perform right now? If the answer is no, then take a rest day and then just do it tomorrow.
You struck a chord with me there, because I'm such a task-oriented person just from being a busy-ass teacher and having like all these boxes to check. And so I'm like, oh, my Monday workout's done. Check that out. You know, and that is my mentality to a T. And I am not in tune with like my cycle, even though like emotionally I know I'm there, you know, I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting my period in 2 days, whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't take that into account when I'm like thinking about when I need to move my body, or if I had a rough night of sleep, I'll still wake up and work out if I'm in that, if I'm in that extreme, like, let's do this mode, yeah, I'm not listening to my body like that. So that really struck a chord with me.
Yeah, good. And that's probably honestly what is holding a lot of you back from being consistent, is because mm-hmm. you're forcing it. You're forcing yourself to do something because you know it's good for you, and that's fine. And some days you will have to push yourself to do it. Some days you yeah. won't want to do it. And you're not mm-hmm. every day is going to be like, fuck yeah, I want to work out right now. Like, that doesn't happen to anyone. They tell you that, they're fucking lying. Like, that's yeah. a lie. Even myself, like, I love working out and I love fitness. And there are days where I'm like, I don't want to work out at all. Like, I just want to sit on the couch and be a fucking potato and do nothing.
Yeah.
And when that happens, like, I am noticing that there's some, my body is like literally needing that. And so when I give it what it needs, I work with it instead of pushing against it. And yeah. then I'm able to recover more. And recovery is really where our progress happens.
Mm-hmm.
The science of weightlifting and resistance training is that in your actual workouts, you tear down the muscle fibers. So when you're feeling that like burning pain in your muscles, when you're in the last few reps of a lift, if you're using heavy enough, you will feel that in the last few reps, that like pushing feeling. If you're in the rep range to feel that, I could get super specific on reps, but I won't right now. But that's actual the muscle fibers tearing. And why mm-hmm. we do that, and it sounds weird, it's like, wow, I'm tearing my muscle, that sounds terrible. No, your muscle rebuilds. And what's happening on a cellular level and a psychological level with your brain is that your muscle tears and it says, oh fuck, like, I gotta survive. Your body's number one thing mm-hmm. is to survive. So you're tearing the muscle and it says, oh, I don't want to tear again. That can't happen to me again. So your body builds the muscle to be able to adhere to the stimulus of the tearing.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the workout, you're tearing the muscle. It's outside of the workout that the rebuild happens. It's your sleep. It's your nutrition. It's your recovery, your yoga, your mobility, like the things, it's moving your body outside of just tearing muscle down. If you're consistently tearing, and not paying attention to recovery, then you're mm-hmm. never going to see progress because your body's not actually able to build a muscle outside of the tearing. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think something that maybe you can tell me kind of what your philosophy is on how you stay in tune with your body. But like the times that I have listened to my body and I'm like, damn, I just need to stretch. Like, I am so sore. Mm-hmm. All I'm doing this morning is stretching and I'm taking a rest time tonight, you know? So mm-hmm. how do you like, you know, there are times I definitely have that, but there are other times where I might not listen to that. So how do you hone in on that with yourself and realize I need more than anything, my body right now needs mm-hmm. rest. Is it just ultimate soreness? Like, what does that look like for you?
Yeah, I think it's body fatigue, soreness, and also like, there's also that mental aspect, right? Too, of that burnout mm-hmm. feeling. It doesn't always have to be like, wow, my body's really sore. No, it could be like, I'm bored. I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I'm on the verge of like just pulling the plug completely. And so mm-hmm. that's also a way that I look at that too. And okay, something needs to change. Either the time that I work out, the outfits that I wear, the style of training that I'm doing, like I'm feeling like really unexcited by my training. And sometimes training is unexciting. And if you're following a specific program or you're following a program by a coach and they've got your best interest in heart, like then just follow the program or speak to them about changing that. But mm-hmm. I would say it's those two things. It's either like the mental burnout or the physical fatigue. And the biggest thing for me, I think, and the biggest thing that I try to teach my clients, understanding the biggest shift happened with me being able to take rest days and not feeling bad about it, was understanding that I shouldn't be afraid of not working out. And that they're mm-hmm. like deep rooted down when I look back at it, like I was afraid to not work out. And I was afraid mm-hmm. that I would either lose progress or not see the results that I wanted to see, or quote, like I would be afraid that the scale would go up. And that was a big fear.
Yeah.
And then like the journey of falling in love with myself and like really taking care of myself helped me realize that like there's more, and this is a whole different, and this is kind of what a goal of yours, but this is like a whole different conversation, but how my worth does not rely on my body. And sometimes it may feel mm-hmm. that way, and sometimes it still feels that way, especially with what I do, if I'm being completely honest, but like understanding that I'm so much more than this physical fucking skin that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding.
Yeah, and that's like a huge battle. That part of what you just said, like not just like the society that we live in, but also just the way that we were raised. And I was an athlete. And so I never, even though I was never happy with my body ever.
Yeah.
I've never yeah. felt satisfaction in my own skin. And that's really difficult to work with when you're feeling like mentally not tough. And yeah. that can be really guilt striking and like turn into this whole other spiraling effect. So that's probably part of it too.
For sure.
You know, coming off of like a weekend where I was drinking and stuff, like, oh my gosh, why did I just do that? And then there's all this mm-hmm. guilt built in. And then, well, why do I care about taking care of my body anyways? Like everything you just mm-hmm. mentioned, you know?
Yeah, that's so huge.
Yeah.
And I think too, like, it's a process, just like we talked about at the very beginning, like going plant-based, there's an evolution. There's an evolution to this journey of accepting yourself and loving yourself. And that doesn't mean you just like chill and do nothing, but it's like you have a patience and a love and a care for yourself that is so strong that like there's an evolution of it where all of a sudden one day you're not just going to snap and be like, okay, cool. Like I'm good. I love my body. I'm not afraid of food, or like, I'm not afraid of gaining weight, or I'm not afraid of like what this may be. And I think deep rooted down, it sounds like the big reason why you may not be consistent is because your expectations of yourself mm-hmm. are really, really, really high.
Mm-hmm.
And when you fail those expectations, there's guilt and there's shame. And then there's,
yeah.
there's, oh, I'm not, I don't deserve this. Like, and this is, maybe you don't feel this as a real feeling, but subconsciously, like, I don't deserve this. So like, why should I continue mm-hmm. to do this if I can't even make it 6-7 weeks?
Yeah. Yeah. That's completely 100% what it is, you know, because mm-hmm. like you said, there is that really high expectation. And when I'm not meeting it, it's like, well, shit, what am I good for? You know, like not in a way like, oh, I'm
oh, yeah.
my personality or anything, but like, you know, yeah. you can't even stick with, you know, 4 weeks of working out consistently. Like you will never be able to do it. You get that self-talk, like you'll never be able to do this, yeah. you know?
And that leads me into kind of the next thing that I really want you to focus on. And we can touch base about the couple things I'll recap kind of some of the homework that I've given you already. But one thing we're going to touch base on is the pull-ups. We're also going to have you take 2 rest days every single week. And on those days, feel free to like go for a walk, you know, dance, stretch, do like a light yoga. And I think that's going to like get your heart rate up or challenge you that much, but something that keeps you moving, that's 100% like, totally beneficial and totally fine. But 2 definite like workout rest days. And then what was I just going to say? Oh, the biggest thing that I work on and the first thing I do with any of my clients, which sounds really, really backwards in a fitness program, is has nothing to do with the workouts and the nutrition. The first thing that we do is we go through your mindset. We go through what limiting beliefs mm-hmm. do you have about yourself? Like you just said, oh, I can't make it 4 weeks. I can't do this, right? So uncovering those limiting beliefs, working through them, understanding that they're there, and then actually rewiring the subconscious by creating, and this is what I do in my Powered by Plants program, creating a morning routine so that you can start to literally rewire your brain and your subconscious on what you believe about yourself and believe to be true about what you want to create. It is mm-hmm. so powerful. So what I want you to do is maybe as they come up, just start to notice when you talk negatively about yourself. Start to notice when, oh, I can't do this, or, oh, that's too heavy, or, oh, I missed my workout again, or, oh, I'm slow, like anything like that. Anything those negative mm-hmm. beliefs, specifically around like your body, fitness, your relationship with food, the things that you're really trying to work on, just notice those.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first step. Then once you notice them, then start to, I guess, outside of that task would be to, what do you really want? Like in 6 months from now, I want mm-hmm. you to close your eyes right now. In 6 months from now, you wake up, it's a Friday. When you wake up, how do you want to feel? When you look in the mirror to get dressed, what are you putting on? How do you think about yourself when you're in the mirror? Like, what do you say? What are you going to go do? What are you drinking? Like, what is this highest version of you? Who is she? And how does she show up in the world? And so from there, and you can share that with me now if you want to, like what kind of came up for you. You totally can if you don't want to and you want to keep that totally personal. That's totally fine. But then from there, what does that woman, what does she need? What kind of behaviors mm-hmm. does she create? How does she show up? What does she think about herself?
Mm-hmm.
What are the thoughts in her head? From there, like, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead and finish your statement.
From there, you look at, okay, man, she's fucking fierce. Like she's badass. Mm-hmm. She knows herself. She's confident. So then starting to create affirmations around those key feelings that you want to create and that you want to elicit.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, what actions do I need to elicit? So if I want to be confident, Melissa is confident. I'm confident. I am badass. I am amazing. So those might be some affirmations that you repeat every day in the morning, in the mirror or written or whatever, but repeating them every day is key.
When you were first saying, like, what do you want to wake? This is, oh God, I hate to admit this right now, but it's like really a great thing that is happening is that, you know, what it comes down to, what I've been taught and what comparative culture has taught me is that I need to look a certain way. And that's when you first said that, when I close my eyes, when I look at the mirror in 6 months, you know, I want a leaner toned body, you know, I want to look a different way than I do currently. And that makes me sad in a way, because that's not my ultimate goal. Like I just, you know, like I would say that's like the part of me that I wouldn't want to admit, and I just did to you, but it's fine because I'm a transparent person. It's fine. Yeah. But you know, I think that's the part I don't want to admit to myself, is that that's like the shallow part of me that truly, that's what I, what personally right now in this current conversation we're having, what I want is to just look a different, I want to feel comfortable in my skin. Maybe that's how I need to phrase it. And I think a lot of people could relate to that, but I like the second part of what you said. So I'm going to try and hang on to that, is like, what are the thoughts that I want to change, and how do I want to feel more confident, and how are the ways that I want to feel more badass, just feeling better about my efforts, more so like my efforts and habits than the results.
Yes. And when the efforts and habits are locked in, then the results come, right? And they may not be what quote unquote you just pictured in your head, but you're going to be in a place where you're going to still feel really fucking good about them because of your efforts and your habits. And because there's a newfound connectedness to your soul being versus just your physical skin.
Yeah. Oh gosh. It's so hard to admit that that's like what my brain has been taught, you know, and learned. And like you said, it needs to rewire, but that's just what it is right now. And I think that's part of the struggle.
That's kind of what we were just talking about prior to, like, you know, just accepting it and not feeling guilty. And there may be some guilt feelings that come up, which is okay. But just like the biggest thing is for growth and evolving that I've found has been to just sit with whatever you're feeling, not try and change it. And just almost like you're an observer. I'm reading this book right now. It's called The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. And it's really, really good. And it talks a lot about that. It's just like literally observing your emotions. And I never thought something could be so fucking hard in my entire life, because our brain's just constantly fire. But like, instead of naming the emotion and say, I feel that, but just be like, wow, okay, this is what's going on in my mind and my body right now. I don't have to take that if I don't want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like making the choice to how you're going to feel about a situation that your body is in or your mind is in.
Yep. And that that reminds me of kind of what I was talking about, is I want to finish this because I know this will be really powerful for you. This is like step one outside of the two rest days. This is step one, is really working on, I don't know if you have a morning routine or if you're that kind of person, but maybe it's 5 minutes before your morning workout where you really focus on, like, how do I want to show up today? What are my intentions of the day? Like, what traits do I want to create? And this goes into like, who am I, quote unquote, in 6 months? What is this highest version of myself? What is she like? How does she show up? Mm-hmm. She shows up with no fear, like no doubt in who she is. She's confident. She doesn't feel guilty about herself. She understands that like there's ebb and flow in life, whatever it is for you, kind of like finding that root and then creating that into affirmations daily or things that you keep showing up as. So, you know, I am confident. And then breaking it down from there, even you could say something like the choices that I stand by the choices that I make, and I make strong choices. If that's something where you're like, oh, I'm really indecisive. If that's always been a story you've told yourself, I'm really indecisive and that really affects my relationships and that affects my work and affects everything. So if you can flip the switch and say, no, like I'm strong in my choices and my understanding of those choices. And it sounds so simple, and it really fucking is. It's that simple. It's just choosing.
Yeah.
But it's
I like the setting intentions thing that you talked about. I think I've seen you at that on your page before.
Yeah.
And I always look at it as like something I would like to do, but something I never actually make happen. Like I'll do it a couple of days and then it's like, oh, I don't have to do it today. Like I feel good, you know, and I get away from it.
And that's the thing. It's
so just like consciously just making that choice.
We don't just do it when we feel bad. My favorite time to do it is when I feel fucking great and I don't need it, because it my soul just feels like it's just bursting with joy and energy. And it's like the sun and it's just like,
So
that's your other homework is every single, well, let's start with 5 days a week. Okay. 5 days a week, you're doing just 5 minutes of intentions, and affirmations or gratitude. Capiche?
Okay. Capiche. Cool. I love that you just said that. I say that to my kids all the time.
My third grade teacher, God, I forget her name. I think her first name was Jane though, but first grade teacher, I can't remember. She said capiche and we always said kaposh right after. It was like,
that's cute.
She says something and then the whole class has to say the same thing.
Yeah. That's cute.
I always think about her when I say that.
Aww.
Okay. So it seems like we made some leeway on how to stay consistent, creating some mental shifts around your relationship with your body. And this can go with relationship with food too. Like, I have my clients who have who are struggling with their relationship with food do a lot of affirmations around this. Like, I can't think of any right now, but like, I make food choices that make me feel good. Mm-hmm. So not putting, I eat good food, not putting labels on food, good or bad, but like, I choose in the moment, like what is necessary for my body and sometimes my soul. And I think that's the big thing that I want you to maybe shift around, and it's going to be hard at first, and it may be, there's going to be some struggle around it, but like, there's no good or bad food. If you go out to eat and you have pizza, like, you're not bad. It's not bad food. It's just fucking food. Mm-hmm. It's just food. And it's maybe there's just less nutritious and more nutritious food, and that's it. And if we can have a balance of those in our life and in our day to day, like, you're going to be set. Mm-hmm. That it's when it kind of gets off kilter in one direction or the other, right? Because when we try and do too clean or too restrictive, then our mental health kind of takes a decline, right? Because you're restricting, restricting. I'm sure you've experienced this. So finding that balance in having no good or bad food and just looking at food as food.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, saying that's hard.
It's really hard. It's really hard. And it's going to take you a long time. And I'd be happy to support you in this after this, because I know that it does take support, and it takes time, and it takes that rewiring the subconscious, and it takes understanding and seeing and really seeing that if you eat balanced lifestyle and consistent, right? And that goes back to that consistency. If you eat balanced, what I mean by balance is like 70-30, 80-20. You won't look a fucking different, like, you won't look different than if you ate 100% clean. You might look a tiny bit different, but probably not enough to anyone notice with clothes on.
Right.
And you're going to be so much more happy, and you're going to feel less guilt and less shame. And you're going to feel so much less miserable than if you were to just try and force yourself to eat clean. And this is what I see a lot. And I'm not saying you do this, but I want to be healthy, right? I want to get on this workout train. Okay, cool. Not eating any chips, not eating any bread, like whole grains, quinoa, lentils, chickpeas, like whole foods, plant-based, right? I'm not saying that's wrong. I think that's a great way to eat. But in my experience, in my opinion, and my working with a lot of women and with my own experience, is that just doesn't work for most people, because they end up in your position like you were when you go 5 to 6 weeks working out every single day, twice a day, and being like, fuck, I can't do this anymore. I'm tired, like mentally and physically drained. And it's the same thing.
Yeah. And actually, my best friend and I have talked about this before, where we get into like, okay, during the week we do great, and then the weekend rolls around, and you get into those bad habits because you're out of your routine. You're out of your waking up early and you're, you know, working and not really being near food. And then, you know, the weekend just kind of throws it. And then it's like that shame and that guilt and that whole process that you were talking about, that vicious cycle starts again. That's a really hard part of it. I feel like with nutrition, I'm getting better with it. I'm in the phase, which I think you had said on one of your posts, you were in this a long time ago, but you used to count macros just to get an idea of what things look like, portion sizes, you know, nutrient dense foods. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes. I still count macros because I have specific goals. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I have specific goals. So I make sure that I don't track every single day, but just to make sure that I'm hitting at least my protein.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. So, you know, that's honestly, the protein's been really easy to do.
Cool. Good.
But I think it's like the stuff I was talking about, just like the lack of consistency when I get to the weekend, and like, I had been awesome the whole week, and like, maybe I lost a pound and I was feeling excited, and then the weekend rolls around and it's like, you know, just a different story. So just that consistency, it's just the psychology behind it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think too, like, it goes back to, maybe it's a little too, I don't know what your calories are at. I don't know. Would you mind me asking like what you're currently consuming?
Oh yeah, sure. So, let me actually go to my FitnessPal right now. So I'm about 1400 a day because of my, what I would like to, you know, my goal weight and everything. So I have it set to the macro focused, which is, I'm trying to look at the numbers. I think it's like 80. No, nutrition. Where do I find the?
So if you go down to
goals, here it is.
Diary. Yeah. You can go to goals, or you can go to diary and then hit nutrition. Sorry for my dogs playing in the background, by the way.
I know, I can hear him. That's so funny. He's home. He's happy.
He's home and he's happy and he's playing with Kai.
So it's carbs 50%, fat 30%, and protein 20%. So that's what I'm at. Most days I'm.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, most days I have no problem hitting the protein, but then like my carbs will be way off. So it's just like the whole, like, you know, puzzle piece of putting it all together. Usually my fats are way under though. I've not had success in hitting all of my goals, and especially fats, they tend to be way low, which I know is part of like a problem in building muscle. So that's part of it.
How tall are you?
I am 5'5". And I don't mind like telling you my weight and everything if you want to know, but
that'd be great.
Yeah, currently I am 170. Okay. And I would love
1400 calories is way too fucking low. Way too low. Way too low. Of course you can't stick to it. You're starving yourself. And this is not your fault. This is, you probably got it from MyFitnessPal. Correct?
Okay. So what do you think they need to be at?
So I would say usually this is a recommendation. I mean, I would, what I, like if you were a client, what I would do is I would have you come to the gym and I would have you, but you're in Oregon, aren't you? In Oregon?
Yeah. I am in Oregon. Yeah.
Usually what I do is I have my clients come to the gym and I have them take a in-body scan and it tells me their BMR, which is their basic metabolic rate, which is how many calories they burn every single day. But there's an equation I can do where I can figure out, like, based on just kind of averages, your weight and your height and your age, on an average, how much you might burn. But that doesn't really account like muscle mass and things like that. That's why it's not as accurate, but it's probably somewhat accurate off the top of my head without like going and sitting down and doing the equation. From seeing so many people do these things with your weight and your height, you're probably around anywhere between 1500 to 1670 something like of your BMR. That's probably like, and your BMR is how many calories you burn literally laying in bed all day doing nothing. So just to have your organs function and your heart pump blood to your whole body, you would need to eat anywhere between whatever your BMR is, 1500 to 16 something calories.
Well, I have to admit to you too, I just like did the, I tried to do the equation, but honestly with like the plethora of information, I never found an equation that seemed right, or they were kind of like off. And so I never really truly knew. So I was like, all right, well, my fitness pal, like, okay, I want to lose like 2 pounds a week. Do you think that's like too extreme? Is 2 pounds a week way too extreme?
So usually, depending on how much you have to lose, you don't have a lot to lose with your height and your weight, especially depending on kind of what you want to see and how much muscle mass you want, because muscle mass accounts into weight, right? Like 0.5 pound to 1 pound a week is a healthy, sustainable way to keep it off.
Okay.
So it's a lot slower than you want, but it's going to stay off.
It's so slow. It's so slow.
Think about this though.
Yeah.
Imagine a year of eating just a couple hundred more calories a day and like actually being able to stick to it for a whole year versus like a week,
two,
3 weeks and then off.
Yeah.
So it makes a big difference.
Yeah. I hear you. And I'm of course happy to eat more calories.
Yeah. Right. You're like, okay, cool. Let's do it. Fine. And one thing too, that I would do if, as I would have you turn off the activity calories from MyFitnessPal, because we're using that, we're using that as a deficit. So when we look at weight loss and fat loss, you're looking at calories in versus calories out, simple as it is, right? We can get into more details, but when you look at it from a basic level, it's calories in versus calories out. So we're using the deficit in your exercise and then a little bit in your nutrition and what you eat every day to create that deficit. So you're not starving and you're also not like, you know, overstuffing yourself because you're eating back the calories that you're burning. That makes sense.
Yeah. You know, I was like asking my fiance about that. I was like, so should I hit the protein goals, but not the other one? Like, you know, when it accounts for the activity level, which I didn't know you could turn that off. So thanks for letting me know that.
Yeah. You can definitely turn that off.
Like, that's going to be helpful. Okay. All right. So I'll adjust that and I'll adjust the activity thing. That's helpful.
Cool. Yeah. Adjust that and then eat. I would say try and start with like, this is just a basic recommendation. If we were working together, I'd be doing a lot. I'd be a lot more specific, but basic recommendation, try 1700 calories a day.
Okay.
And then you want to get probably a little bit more from protein. So especially if like fat loss is a goal, there's been lots of research saying that like a little bit higher protein is helps you lose fat and maintain muscle mass. So like 1700 calories a day. And then I would say with your weight, moderate protein, probably like 130 grams to start. And I don't know where you're
going
to get, like 130 grams to start. And then working it up from there when you've been able to hit that. Because if I jump it up to really, really high, you're going to have really nasty bathroom issues. You're really not fun gut problems. And then also it's going to feel really unattainable and you're not going to be able to hit it. So I want it to be something that like isn't something that like, oh fuck, I can't do that. Oh fuck, no. I want it to feel attainable. This might feel like a little bit of a reach, but you're going to be able to do it with a little extra push.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So 1700
What did you
calories,
say? Did you say 130?
130, yeah.
130. Wow. I'm at 70 on MyFitnessPal right now. So that's really indicative of why I feel like I haven't been probably making as many strides as I would like to be. So that's helpful information.
So try that. See how you do. And do that for like 4 weeks. Okay. Take progress pictures every week and look at more progress pictures than you do the scale, because the scale, especially when you're changing body composition, the scale doesn't change as much as like pictures do. Yeah. The same, it doesn't have to be the same day, but ideally the same day, same-ish lighting. Take progress pictures in like a bathing suit or shorts and a sports bra or bra and underwear, whatever you're most comfortable with. And then start to compare those week to week, and especially like week one to week four, seeing how your body's responding to the increased calories, the increased protein, and then the extra rest.
Okay. All right.
That would be my like, go do that now alongside the mindset stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. In the sake of time, I know this was like an hour and you have to go and things like that, but,
let's take 10-15 minutes to ask questions. If you have any,
I feel like you answered a lot of them along the way. It was going to be one of them to ask you about like MyFitnessPal and like what you personally think about it and where I was at personally. But other than that, I feel like you answered, and we talked about a lot of the stuff, because a lot of it really just truly had to do with mindset. Because I've been, and I know that may not be helpful for a lot of other people, but I feel like I've been plant-based for long enough that I know how I need to eat. I know that I need nutrient-dense foods. I do a pretty good job with that, but it's just the consistency and like just really talking about ways to do that. And you answered a lot of that. Cool. So I feel like maybe in the future, I'll probably have a question like, what protein are you loving right now? Whatever.
Yeah,
I did get
of course.
That Sun Warrior and I do love it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Send them my way. I seriously love to help.
No, I really appreciate you. And I just want to let you know how like much I admire you, and I look at yourself all the time and I feel inspired by you. And I just like, you're one of the people that makes me just want to be better and do better and like really work on these things that just I've neglected in the past, and it's time to really think about them. So I just want you to know that you know, I'm sure you hear it from your clients all the time, but from someone who doesn't interact with you frequently, I want you to know that you are making a difference. And like, I notice the ways that you're helping, not just me, but other people.
You're gonna make me cry. Thank you. That's really sweet.
No, you need to know, cause you're working really hard and you know, you're making some really impactful, helpful, you know, strides with your business and the way you're helping, like not just plant-based women, but I feel like women in general could just hear this information. And, so I just needed to take time to thank you for that.
Thank you, Melissa. That's really sweet. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Before I let you go, I did want to talk about the pull-ups.
Yeah.
I know I said I would talk about them.
Let's talk pull-ups.
Okay. So if you have time.
Yeah. I do. I just didn't want to run over your time frame.
I want to talk about pull-ups. I love pull-ups. Okay.
Let's do it.
So, couple things. Man, I should just make a full video series on this. I think you just inspired me. Okay. So a few things that we need to be working on. I know I said like shoulder stability. I honestly could write a whole program on getting your first, but I'm going to keep it.
Right. Simple. It's a lot involved.
It's a complex movement and it's really fucking hard. And the hardest part is like continuing to work to it when you don't have it, because it's like, why am I doing this thing if I can't fucking do it? Like, this is stupid.
Yeah. So frustrating.
Big things you want to incorporate. Definitely have like, I can't remember exactly what you said your workouts are. But definitely have like a back focused upper body day, back and chest, maybe like solely focused. So maybe you're choosing the way you structure this workout is 4 exercises on the front half, 4 exercises on the back, 2 chest, 2 back on the front, 2 chest, 2 back on the back. Does that make sense before I move on?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And I'm trying to think with my program, I think it does upper body, but it'll be like, you know, shoulders for only like 2 movements, and then it's not a ton of back, to be honest. I should add in more back.
So maybe you just switch that upper body workout for a different upper body workout that's more back focused and chest focused. And then maybe, maybe it's on that full body day that you spend some extra time on the shoulders or the triceps or like the arms or the things that, that you kind of want to see. So,
okay.
But definitely like a chest and back focused day, mainly because they're such big muscle groups and they do the work for push-ups and pull-ups so much that like building those is imperative to creating upper body strength. So you could do, the back workouts, I won't get into like a whole workout, but the back workouts, say, if you were to program the workout, right, you could do it 2 ways, depending on your goals. And you can mix this up like every 3 to 6 weeks. You could do chest, back. So your chest gets a break when you do a back exercise, and then vice versa. Or if you really wanted to advance it and really fatigue the muscle, you could go chest, back.
Okay.
Just kind of really just depends on like, but stick with the same workout for 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks, and then change the exercises, and maybe even the reps, but continuing to hit those muscle groups. Okay, so now the actual exercises, back movements. I want you to be doing, are you going to a gym or are you working out from home?
Yeah, so we have like a home gym. We have like, oh God, what does it have? Like a lat pull down bar, and you could do rows in it because it can attach to the bottom as well.
It's like a cable, and then we have cable some machine kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And we also have an Olympic barbell we just got too. So
perfect. Okay, so I'm going to give you just a list of exercises and you can feel free to write this down as I'm talking.
Yes. Got it.
Single arm rows.
Okay.
Should be single arm rows. So, and especially like you want to go a little, you want to shift your rep ranges a little bit. When we're talking about strength, you want to shift it a little bit. So maybe one rotation. When I say rotation, I mean like 3 to 4 weeks of that workout cycle doing like 8 reps. And then, the next, maybe 12, there's that 8 to 12 rep range that helps us build muscle. Mm-hmm. The 12 really, really focuses mostly on hypertrophy. The eight, you know, anything lower will work more strength, and having the both, like having both in your training program is important because you want the strength to do a pull up, right? But then you also want the muscle mass to be able to do that as well. So keeping those in, those 8 to 12 rep ranges and switching those around every workout cycle. And then, so lat pull downs, what did I say? Did I say lat pull downs already? I did. Lat pull downs.
Single arm rows, lat pull downs. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then, and you can look these all up on Google, for form, but also scapular pull-ups. So it's just that first, I don't know if you have like a bar or if you have like one of those pull-up attached to the thing that go to the door.
Mm-hmm.
You literally just do the first pull of a pull-up. You're really like, it's literally just engaging your scapula, which is the muscles surrounding your spine, and your shoulder blades. So your elbows are upright. Imagine you're hanging off the bar, and then you're just kind of slightly pulling your shoulder blades back and down, almost like you're trying to get your shoulder blades in your back pockets. So you can feel that engagement. Did you just do that?
Yeah, I'm like trying to imagine that right now, and I've never had this sensation before. Like, how in the world do you accomplish that? I'll have to look up that one.
scapular pull-ups. So you're really just like literally just retracting your scapula and engaging your scapula, because that's the first move when you do a pull-up, is that motion in those shoulder blades. It's not your back. It's not your shoulders. It's the scapula that pulls and supports that movement. And then it's the lats and everything else. So if we can work, because that's where a lot of people get stuck, is that first pull. So if we can really work on that, doing like as many, starting off as many reps as you can, and then just try and increase that from there. And then if you're not already tracking what weights you're using or how many reps you're doing in your workouts, like start doing that yesterday, because that will help you progress in getting better. So if you're like, hey, in my single arm rows last week or 2 weeks ago, I did 20 pounds. I'm gonna do 25 pounds today. So then,
yeah, I was gonna ask, do you suggest like trying to go up every single week or like 2 weeks, depending on if it was super hard? Because I do track that.
So I would say it goes on feeling. Okay. What my rule of thumb is, the last 3 reps should be like the like holy fucking shit. Like, wow, I literally cannot
can't do it.
One more.
Yeah. Okay.
So after that last rep, you're like, no, like I mean, you don't want to go to complete failure, but close enough to where you're like, I probably couldn't do another one with good form. Like I could do another one hunched over and shitty, but I'm not going to do that because the form is the most important thing.
Right. Okay.
Lat pull down, single arm rows, scap pull ups, core work for the stability. So like adding in maybe like some planks, some dead bugs and things where you're really bracing your core. I have some ab workouts on my Instagram too, that are really good in teaching core bracing and like core connection. So you can go and look at those. I would say also barbell rows. So since you just got a barbell, you could start just with the bar, or you could add some, I don't know where you're at with your weights, but hinging over. So you're parallel to the ground, your chest is parallel to the ground, and then you're driving your elbows up and back as the bar comes right like to your sports bra.
I can probably do about 10 on each side with the bar. The bar is too easy, but 10-ish, I'm starting to max out at that point. So probably I'll start there.
Yeah, let's start like 12 reps there, and then just maybe adding like 2.5 pounds, 3 pounds, like 5 pounds. And this some days may feel awesome and you may have a PR, and some days you can't lift what you lifted last week. And
sometimes I go through that. What the heck? Yeah,
it just happens, especially as females. Like our hormones have such an impact on our workouts. So like just understanding that that's just kind of the name of the game. And as long as you're showing up, engaging the muscles and doing the work, like it makes a difference, but not holding yourself so strongly to the numbers.
Okay. Yeah. I need to get out of that.
Cool. Push-ups, doing some push-ups is going to be important. Knees or toes, shoulder tap plank moves, really good for shoulder stability and control. Chin-ups also too, kind of changing it up. So the difference between a chin-up and a pull-up, chin-up, your hands, your palms are,
facing towards you, right?
Yeah, facing you. And then the other way, your palms are facing the other way. So when you do chin up, you have more bicep recruitment. And so it's a little bit easier because you have a little bit more muscles working to help you get up. And when you do pull up, it's mostly back. Mm-hmm. I would say add those couple in for now. I don't want to overwhelm you with exercises. So add those few exercises into every upper body day and just focus on getting really strong in those and crushing those, and you're on your way.
Yeah. Well, I think in what you said earlier was like, you know, the larger muscle groups. So like your back and then your chest and then also lats, but lats are not the most important in this is what I was gathering. It's more like.
Lats are important in the pull-up. Yeah. Yeah. So lats are the muscle that are like right by your, if you take your hand to your armpit and then you like squeeze your elbow, like if you try and squeeze your armpit and you feel that muscle engaged, that's your lat.
So also those ones though.
Yes. So like that's okay. When we do the single arm row, that's working the lat. When we do the lat pull down, that's working the lat.
Right.
I was talking about the scapula and how important that is, but that's just the first portion of the pull up. And then the lats work with the scapula to do the pull up.
Okay. All right. I know my back is weak. I know for sure my back is weak. I don't do enough back workouts.
You got a new goal.
Yeah. I can't wait. I really hope to be able to attain this like that. I should make that honestly the rest of 2020 my goal, because I've wanted to do one for like my whole life. Yeah. So I would love to crush that.
Yeah. Like, why not? Right? Like the time's going to pass anyways. So like some days are going to suck. Some days they're not going to want to do it. And then another thing you can do too, once you kind of start working on those and you're getting the recruitment and really feeling what it feels like to actually engage that muscle group, and like engage it often and feel like it's stronger, is doing banded pull-ups. So using like those thick heavy rubber bands, attaching them to like the top of a pull-up bar, and then putting your knee or your foot in them and using that as a system to get in as many reps as you can. And it may be one, it may be half a rep, but that's where you start. And then you just try and do, if I can do half a rep, by the end of this month, I want to do a 3/4 of a rep. And so just focusing on making those goals a lot smaller so that you don't feel like you failed, so you don't give up. Mm-hmm. And it's not saying you're not making progress, because you're making progress towards a like an end goal, but then getting super micro about that big goal. Mm-hmm. Cool. Any other questions?
Yeah. I love that. No, just how are you so amazing, and how do you find time in your day to be amazing? That's all.
Oh, you're so sweet.
No, you really are awesome. And you know what? You took more time with me than you, I know, wanted to. So I really appreciate your time as well. I know that's important.
Thank you. I wouldn't be here if I didn't want to be here.
Yeah, no, I know. And I appreciate that. I love this conversation. I feel energized. I'm going to do some homework. Are you going to email me those things or Instagram?
I'll email you. Just shoot me your email over Instagram. I can't remember if I have it or not, but shoot me your email and then I'll send over. Sure. I took some notes while we were talking, so I'll send over my notes.
Yeah. Perfect.
And then if you have questions outside of that, then just let me know.
Yeah. Perfect. All right. Well, thank you so much, Emily. I really appreciate your time.
You're so welcome.
And yeah, if there's anything else I can do for you with whatever, let me know. And I can't wait to kind of start, you know, getting consistent and maybe crushing this goal for the rest of 2020.
Don't say maybe. You're crushing the goal.
Yeah. There's the mindset shift. Thank you.
You're welcome. Great to talk to you. Have a good night, okay?
Yes. Thanks. Bye. You too.
Disclaimer. This podcast is produced for your universal listening pleasure. Any statements shared during our program are opinions and experiences of our team and guests. If you disagree with any content presented herein, please find another show before submitting nasty grams. This is a positive vibes only platform. If you love our show and want to connect, share your experiences, or know someone who we should interview on future episodes, please don't hesitate to get in touch through our website or Instagram.
Thanks for listening to this program brought to you by Daydreamer Network. If you enjoyed the episode, please don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts or your preferred platform. Your feedback allows us to rank on the best new shows list and continue to grow our podcasts in order to bring more unique and talented storytellers to the network. To check out our shows, including programs about relationships, sports, business, nutrition, leisure, and more, head to www.daydreamernetwork.com. We look forward to seeing you back next week for another great episode. Have a wonderful day.